My name's Simon. I'm part of the leadership of the church. I'm going to be speaking to us tonight. I hope you had a great Christmas break and you come back relaxed. I was talking to a friend of mine. He said, I spent so long driving around the country, visiting family and friends. I came home for a holiday. And I know many of us feel like that. We had a great time with my family. I spent a huge amount of time actually talking to people about the King's Arms and particularly about the things that God has done amongst us in the last year or so. And I was saying to the leaders actually as we gathered just before Christmas, it feels such a privilege to be here, to be part of leading the King's Arms, to be part of what we're doing and what God is doing here. And you know, I saw things in 2007 that I'd only dreamed of seeing before that. You know, I think we had a week there where we in June. In 2007, where we saw 9 people give their lives to Christ in 1 week, which was just phenomenal. We'd never seen anything like that before. I think we saw more people healed last year than we've seen in the whole of the life of the church before that, pretty much put together. So it's just been great, hasn't it? And I feel excited about this year, about what God's going to do. So happy new year. Welcome to 2008. And we're hoping that God's going to do even more. One of the things that I did over last year, this isn't a New Year's resolution, this is something I started in November, was actually I started going to the gym. And I know some of you struggle to believe that, but it's true. And having been going a few months now, I can tell you I am in superb shape. I mean, don't think athlete, think super athlete. You know, I mean, grown men weep when I walk into the gym, and just because they know they can't compete with someone in my kind of shape. People blush when I arrive. They know they've met their match. This couch potato has finally rolled off the sofa, I can say. And so I'm off the sofa now, and I'm doing the gym thing, and it's feeling good. But I noticed, running up to Christmas, did you notice that all the advertising, what it basically is food and alcohol. And it's like, you've got to eat this, you've got to drink this, you need all this stuff, you know. And so you, by the time you get to Christmas, you're like, you know, you're absolutely right, this is a holiday, you're like, God, let's have it. You're stuffing the hero's chocolates down, and you're thinking, this is great, and really enjoying it. And then you get to Boxing Day, and then you get to the day after Boxing Day, and the advertising just switches. Like, someone's flicked a switch, and it's like, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that, should you? Now look at you. Now you're feeling terrible, and you're like, oh yeah, you're right, I feel awful. And it's like, what you need is a new pair of trainers. What you need is a low-cal drink. What you need is, and it totally switches on you. And so one of the things that we all feel like when we're going into the new year is, oh, I've got to get back in shape again. I think that's typical for all of us. And I believe actually that God wants to speak to us a message on that theme, which is more important than that. Physical exercise, of course, is important. But I feel like God is calling us to actually get in shape for the mission that he's got for us this year. You know, who needs to lose a few spiritual pounds here and there? who needs to get themselves a bit trimmed up in the spiritual realm for the mission that God has called us on together? Are we fit enough spiritually for 2008? And so tonight, as we continue our series on what did Jesus say about, I want us to gather together and look at what Jesus said about this whole area of mission, the mission that we are on together. I just seen Lisa and Martin. These guys got engaged over Christmas. Let's say congratulations to you guys. Sorry. That's totally total tangent there, but I felt like I had to do that. So if you've got a Bible, Matthew 9, you want to turn to that. Congratulations, you guys. You got a date yet? Is it? Not yet. June time. June's good. Great. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, we thank you for Lisa and Martin. Thank you for them getting engaged. And we just pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us tonight. We pray, come by your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, speak. Open our hearts to hear your word, Lord. Come transform us, Lord. We pray that we would leave behind 2007 and move into 2008 with your purpose and your faith and your word in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 9. We've got it hopefully up on the screen here. Verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and affliction. You see, the first point is this, and we'll read some more and then we'll teach as we go. The first point is this, that we get in shape for the mission that God has called us to when we first grasp what Jesus' mission was. We get in shape when we grasp what Jesus' mission was. Well, While many of us were partying and enjoying the new year, a young man was walking home along the embankment in Bedford, 17-year-old Robert Gill, and nobody totally knows what happened, but all they know is a few days later they're pulling a body out of the river and three guys are being charged with murder. And it was a shocking wake-up for all of us as to the state of this world. The desperate state, and we can so easily miss it, can't we? We can look around and believe all the advertising, if you like, that it's all okay and it's all right, but that's just surface. Deep down, we are part of a hurting, dying, broken society. And there are people who are hurting, and they're hurting each other all around us. And we perhaps are in the same situation ourselves. We've experienced the pain of this world. We've experienced the heartache that comes through this world. The Bible says the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And so often we can miss that, but when we start to peel back the layers and go under the surface, we start to see that that is in fact true, that the enemy has power over this world and he is wreaking havoc across the world wherever we see it. And so into that darkness, there came a light. And it was the light of Jesus Christ. And he came as a single light, a solitary light into that darkness. And listen to a little bit of what he said about his mission. He says in Luke, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor." In John 10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it abundantly." In Matthew 9, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, those who think they're good enough, but sinners, those who think they are not good enough." That's who he came for. "I've come into this world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." And the Apostle John sums it up so well when he wrote this: "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." That's why he came. That was his mission into this dark world. Wherever we see sickness, death, disease, poverty, where we see those things, so often we think it's God's fault and we're blaming God for things. Actually, no, the Bible's quite clear. It's the enemy who does this stuff. He is the thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Whenever we see that stuff, we know that there's been a thief there who has been ransacking. And Jesus came to come and steal back, to come and take back what the enemy has stolen. He came on this mission of life, this mission of abundant life. He came not just as a great moral teacher, but as a warrior, to bring heaven forcefully onto earth, to bring his world and bring it onto this earth, his world of peace, of light and joy and hope and freedom. He came to bring it forcefully into this world, and he came as this solitary light into a dark place. Listen to this Smith Wigglesworth story. You've got to start the year with a good Smith Wigglesworth story. So here's a good one that I found. In one meeting, he called out a young lady. Smith Wigglesworth was like an evangelist in the 1940s. In one meeting, he called out to a young lady who was in an advanced tuberculosis condition to leave her seat and stand in the nearest aisle. Breathing heavily and with cheeks flushed, she slowly did as she was told and stood up. "I'm going to pray for you," said Smith, "and then you are going to run around this building." He prayed, and then he shouted, "So run!" But she didn't move. "I can't run," she said. "I can barely stand." "Don't talk back to me," said Smith. "You see, I'm too nice. That's the problem. Do as I have said." Then he jumped down from the platform, put his arm around her, and together they started to walk. And then they ran, and finally they were jogging round the auditorium, and she was totally healed. You see, Jesus is still doing the same stuff. We see in this passage what he came to do. He came, he preached the kingdom of God, and he healed the sick, and he set free those who were oppressed, and he's still doing the same stuff today amongst us. So we start to get in shape for our mission when we believe and accept the mission that Jesus was on. When we understand that this is the mission that he came to do, to achieve, to begin, was the invasion of heaven onto this dark earth. That's what he came for. And that's our first step to getting in shape. Let's read on a little bit. In verse 36 it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We take our next step, as it were, into getting in shape for this mission when we allow Jesus' heart to touch our hearts. Do you see what he does here? He's got this mission and he's doing the stuff, and then he just looks and sees the massive need around him. And so what does he do? He gathers his guys in, a few that have got something of the picture. He gathers them to him and he says, look guys, there's a massive need out there. There is a harvest out there. And you can imagine they were thinking, I'm just not up to this job. I can't do the things that you're doing. But he gathers them in. He's looking at the need and he gathers in these guys. And he calls a prayer meeting. And he says, guys, let's pray. Let us pray that God will send out workers into this harvest. And you can imagine being in that prayer meeting with Jesus, praying for the lost of the world. You're the only light in the world. And you're around this only light that's appeared. And Jesus is calling a prayer meeting. Man, I would have liked to have been there. At that prayer meeting where Jesus prayed, he says, pray earnestly that God would send. Don't just send up a token prayer. He was calling out for the nations of the world. Pray earnestly, it says. They used to say of Smith Wigglesworth that nobody could stand to pray with him. Because when he prayed, the power of God would fall in such power that nobody could even stand in the room. And there was one guy who said, well, I'm going to go in there and pray. And so the other guy said, well, you try it. So this guy went in there and he lasted 30 minutes before he crawled out on his knees. Because when Smith would pray, the power of God would just fall. It's a bit like that when I pray. People crawl out on their knees for other reasons. But you can imagine being in that prayer meeting, being gathered to Jesus. And you can imagine understanding. And as they prayed with him, they would have encountered his heart. That his heart, his compassion would have rubbed off on them. And I remember a few years ago, I was just felt God calling me to pray again for the lost. And it was particularly guys who are not saved, guys who have not given their lives to Christ. And obviously I feel passionate for ladies to get saved. We like that, Jamie. That's like slight adjustment to the lights as we go. I think leave it now, Jamie. That's great, mate. Thank you. I was just feeling so stirred. And obviously I'm passionate about ladies getting saved. But I just know from my own heart, us guys are so stubborn. We are so stubborn. We were seeing very few guys coming through to faith in Christ. And I just felt, God, we've just got to see some more of this. And so I just began to pray. And as I prayed, I just felt this weight of God's heart for the men of this nation who are just so lost. And I know from before I was a Christian, I was so prideful. And so unwilling to listen to other people as they shared about their faith. And so I just called on God and I just began to weep. I just began to cry for men. I just got something of God's heart just rubbed off on me. You see, when was the last time that you just got on your knees and wept for the lost people around you? And if you've never done that, I urge you, 2008, your next step in the mission, if you've understood what Jesus' mission was, then your next step is to allow his heart of compassion to touch you. It's to get with him, to pray with him, to call on him and say, Jesus, put your heart on my heart. You see, so often we think that compassion is a weak emotion, but actually compassion is the springboard for the power of God. If you look through the Gospels, often right before Jesus moved in power, it says, and he was filled with compassion. He sees our pain and it fills his heart with compassion, and it's a springboard for God's power to come. So we need to allow his compassion to touch us. I was reading this book again. I saw it on my brother's shelf and borrowed it. John Wimber, Power Evangelism. If you've never read this, I know I say this about every book I recommend, but if you've never read this, you've got to, I really mean it this time, you've got to read this. It's such a fantastic book. So I was rereading it over Christmas. And there was just one story that really stood out to me. about this whole thing. In 1984, I spoke at a conference in the Midwest of the States. After one of the meetings in the parking lot, I met a woman who suffered with crippling arthritis. Her pain was so great that she needed a walker to get about. I talked with her before praying and discovered that her husband had abandoned her and her daughter 14 years earlier, and it was shortly thereafter that her arthritis began. She also told me that her husband had run off with another man. She told this also in front of her daughter, who didn't even know that. On hearing this, I became enraged at what Satan had done, and I said, "That's enough!" Here was an instance when the Holy Spirit stirred my heart, showing me that the source of the arthritis was her yielding to bitterness towards her husband and to God. I was enraged by what Satan had done, and so was the Holy Spirit. And when I spoke those two words, it was like they exploded out of me. The power of God fell on this woman. Her body trembled violently, her joints changed shape, fingers and legs strengthened. Satan's grip, the power of bitterness and accusation, was broken. She confessed her sin of harboring bitterness towards her husband and God. I reassured her of God's forgiveness. That night she was healed of about 80% of her condition. After a little more prayer, the other 20% fled. Has your heart been touched with his heart? Because if we're going to step out into this mission, we mustn't allow our hearts to become hard. And I know from my own experience, it's so easy to just allow hardness to come in because the need is so massive, isn't it? Everywhere you go and you start to see the need, it's just so massive around us. And yet Jesus walked with a heart filled with compassion. He didn't allow his heart to become hard. He just got dependent on God and said, "God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do." That's what he did. And that's how we need to walk this out. Let's just read on a little bit more in Matthew 10. And as it says, "And he called to him, his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and power to heal every disease and every affliction." Just skip forward a few verses to verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.'" You see, the real key to spiritual fitness, though, is this third point, which is this. We have to live in this place of receiving and giving. Receiving and giving. We have to live in this place where we receive from God and then we give. You see what happened here? First, the mission was Jesus' mission, and then it became the disciples' mission. He gathers them to pray. He gathers them in and he says, "Let's pray together. Let's pray for the Lord to send workers into the harvest." So the disciples, you can imagine them there, they're praying their socks off. And then Jesus says, "Right, okay, that's enough praying. Now you go." And they're like, "Hang on a minute, Lord. We're praying for others to go." And he's like, no, you go. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation yourself where you're like, "God, do something. There's a massive need here. Will you do something in this situation?" And God's like, "Okay, then go." And you're like, "No, Lord, I'm really praying for you to provide someone to go, someone to help in this situation." And he's like, "I've provided. Now go." It's just me, obviously. You see, Jesus gathers them in, and what was once his mission now becomes their mission. He said, "I am the light of the world." Now he says to us, "You are the light of the world." He said, "I am the truth." Now he says to us, "You go and declare the truth." What was his mission becomes our mission. And the key to this next step is to receive from him this mission and then to go, to give it out wherever we go. And you notice here, he gives them three specific things, actually. He gives them three things. Look in verse 1. He gives them authority, it says, first of all. He gives them authority to bring the kingdom, particularly over demonic spirits. Secondly, he gives them power. And the third one is not so clear. But what you see there is he gives them instruction. He gives them wisdom. He gives them authority, he gives them power, and he gives them wisdom. And what I've realized is that if we're to increase in seeing the kingdom of God come wherever we go, then we need all three of these things. We need to grow in authority, we need to grow in power, and we need to grow in wisdom. If 2008 is going to be a year for you where you see the kingdom of God break out in your workplace, in your home life, in your friends, in your relationships, then all three of these things are areas where we need training. All three of these things are areas where we need God to impart something to us. And so I've just been looking at these three areas and just been studying them over the last few months. And I haven't got very far, but I'll share with you where I've got to on these. Just very brief notes, as it were, on each one of these. How do we receive these three things? And the first one, authority. How do we receive authority? And what I've learned is, actually, you can't receive authority. So that was a good start. You cannot receive authority. It's impossible. You can't receive it. Think about it. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, now go. What did he actually give them? He didn't give them anything. All he did was gave them his commandment. He said, the authority has been given to me, now you go. Do you get the point? The point is that we grow in authority when we realize what authority he has. When we understand his authority, then we start to step out in authority. It's like an ambassador. Think of an ambassador of a nation. They in themselves have no authority. They have no power. Their only authority lies in the nation that sent them. And the stronger that nation, the more authority they have. And it's the same with us. We have been sent by the highest authority. And so when we get into situations where we need God's kingdom to break out, where we need freedom, where we need healing, where we need his power to come, we go in his authority. I remember one time I was praying with a guy and he particularly needed freedom from fear. He was just locked up with fear and we'd prayed and prayed and I just couldn't get him free. And I was praying my best prayers, and I've got some pretty good prayers up my sleeve. And I was praying my best prayers, and nothing was happening. And we prayed again and again, and I was meeting with him that day, and I was praying with some other guys, and I was just saying to them, oh, I've prayed with this guy so many times, and we just cannot get him free. I don't know what to do. And so they prayed for me. And as they prayed, they said, you're going to receive a key today. And so I went into the office, and I was reading some stuff. Some notes that I'd written down from a few years back. And one of the notes I'd read said this. It said, setting people free is not a power encounter, it's a truth encounter. And I thought, that's it. That is the key for today. So when this guy came, I was really excited. I thought, this is it. This is going to happen. And so we didn't actually pray at all. All we did was we got the Bible out and we just read statements about who Jesus was. And we just read through statements about fear, about Jesus' power over fear. We just read them and read them and read them, and he was totally set free. You see, authority comes when we understand who Jesus is and his authority. And the second way that we grow in authority is by being under authority. And I've really understood this in a new degree this year. You remember the story where Jesus is with the centurion and the centurion comes to Jesus and he says, will you heal my servant? And Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion says, you don't need to come, he says. I'm a man under authority. I know about authority. Just say the word and he's going to be healed. And Jesus is like, wow, okay, he's healed. And he was healed. What's the point? The centurion understood something that we so often miss, is that those who are under authority walk in authority. And the more you are under authority, the more you will walk in authority. The more you are yielded to God, the more you are submitted to God, the more that you will walk in his authority. And it's a massive point for us because we like to do things our way. I love doing things my way. I know you don't, but it's something I have. I just love it. And sometimes the Holy Spirit says to me, Simon, come and pray, come and pray. And I'm like, but Lord, I've just got all these other things I want to do. I want to look at my emails and, I don't know, it's a guy thing. And you just wanted all these things that you just want to do. And it's not sinful stuff, but it's not yielded to him. It's not obedient to his voice. It's not listening to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. So if we want to grow in authority this year, 2008 is going to be a year where we step into a new level of authority. Then 2008 has got to be a year where firstly we understand the authority of Christ, we meditate on it, we soak it up, we spend time worshipping him and getting our minds focused, and secondly we yield to him we start to obey his still, small voice on even things that, you know, not necessarily sinful things, but things where he just says, I want you to do this, and we don't want to do it. We yield to him. What about power? How do we receive power? Just do these last two very quickly. Paul writes this in Ephesians 1. I pray that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. What's the point? Like authority, power comes through revelation. It's a strange thing. You wouldn't think it, but that's what Paul's saying. He says, I pray that you may know him so that you may know his power. The more that we understand God and know him and understand his awesome power, the more that that power will flow through us. Revelation is the key that unlocks the power of God. And power also comes through encounter. You look through the Bible at those who moved in power. You go through and look at them one by one. Moses, David, John the Baptist, Jesus, these guys who brought the kingdom with them. Look at their lives. It all started when they encounter God. We have to be people who pursue encounter with God because it changes us. The great evangelist D.L. Moody wrote of a time in his life when he encountered God. And he said afterwards, he said, I used to preach the same sermons using the same notes as I preached before, and hundreds of people used to get saved. It's like, what's changed? What's changed is he'd encountered God, and his power began to flow through him. And we need to get dissatisfied with what we've known, because it's only a dissatisfied people who will push in to encounter God again to receive more of his power. So power comes through revelation, power comes through encounter, power actually comes through fasting. You remember the story where Jesus was, where the disciples were trying to heal the boy who was deaf and dumb, and he was also epileptic, and the disciples had tried and failed, and then Jesus comes along and heals the guy, heals the boy, and the disciples afterwards say to him, what did we do wrong, you know, where did we go wrong? Why couldn't we heal him? And Jesus says this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. But Jesus didn't pray or fast. What's the point? The point is power comes through a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. And we're going to be looking at that some more over the next couple of weeks, so I won't dwell on it. If 2008 is going to be a year of us growing in power, we've got to learn to pull on God's resources to encounter him, to allow his power to flow through us. So that when we get into situations where the kingdom has to come, we've got the living power of God working through us. And lastly, wisdom. You know, I've found that when you're praying for the sick, you need authority. You need to know that Jesus has got authority over this sickness. You must have the power of God flowing through you. But you've also got to have wisdom. You've also got to have wisdom. I've prayed for two people. I prayed for a person with one condition and they were completely healed. A week later, I prayed for someone else with the same condition and they were not healed. What is that? What is that about? What is that? I was the same person. I was probably knew more the second week than I knew. I was more submitted. The power of God was flying through me. I knew about his authority. I had seen his authority in that situation. And yet the second person wasn't healed. Why? The key is wisdom. The key is wisdom. It's growing in wisdom. You see, God is not a God of formula. He is a God of relationship. Wisdom is relationship to know, how do I apply his power, his authority in this situation? You read through the Gospels, in Mark 8, Jesus heals a blind man by laying hands on him. In Matthew 20, Jesus heals a blind man by spitting in his eye. I mean, I'd rather be the first guy, but you as if you're blind, you don't care, whichever way it comes. But why? Why? Lay hands or spit in his eye, you know? I don't think Jesus was choosing randomly. Why? Because he was totally submitted to God. He was receiving wisdom. He He was receiving the now word of God as to how this person was going to be healed. And it's the same for us. We need the authority, we need the power, but we need wisdom. It doesn't work just like a formula. It works out of a relationship. And so when we want to bring the kingdom of God into our business, when we want to bring the kingdom of God into our school situation or a college situation or wherever we go, we need his wisdom to bring it. How do we get that? Well, Proverbs 2 says this: make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, seek it like silver, search for it like hidden treasure, and then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you get that? Do you get it? Do you understand what he's saying there? Make your ear attentive. Incline your heart. Call out for it. Raise your voice for it. Seek for it like silver. Search for it like hidden treasure. Wisdom comes to those who really want it. That's the point. Wisdom comes to those who really, really, really want it. God doesn't just dish it out to anyone, all and sundry. He doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us, for those who will look for them, for those who will come after him, for those who will say, God, we've got to have the breakthrough in this situation. We've been praying for two people who are deaf or have got hearing impairment in one of their ears, at three people actually, and none of them have yet been healed. But we are calling out for God. Give us wisdom, God, because once we get one, we'll get more. But it's this first one is a real pain. Not the people, sorry. This first one, this getting the keys for this first one is really difficult. But I know that once we get the first one, we'll get more. And it's the same in every situation that we face. Every situation you face, everything you come up against, every obstacle that's coming up against you in 2008, God has the wisdom to overcome it. God has exactly what you need to get through that situation. He has exactly what you need to overcome. To walk in victory in that situation. But you've got to go after it. You've got to seek him for it. Ask God for revelation. So if we're to get in shape for this mission, not only have we got to understand Jesus' mission, not only have we got to let his heart rub up against our hearts so we get his compassion, we've got to have these three things: authority, power, and wisdom. I've just given you a snapshot of the issues at hand. And it's up to all of us to go after these. It's up to all of us to seek God for these. Because I believe that this year is going to be a significant year for us, that we're going to see breakthrough that we have never seen before. Perhaps breakthrough that has never been seen in this nation before. Who's to say that it can't happen here? Who's to say that it can't happen in our midst? Remember the prophetic word that's been given to us. We read a lot of books about what God does, but soon we're going to be writing our own books. We read a lot of stories about what God's doing, but soon we're going to be writing our own stories. And it's already starting. It's already beginning. Just as we close, look at your hands. Just hold your hands out. Look at them. Don't look at your nails might need cleaning or polishing. Right? Don't look at that. Look at your hands. You see, in 2008... some of you, some of these hands are going to be laid on sick people and they're going to recover. Some of you are going to lay these hands on people in desperate pain and the pain is going to disappear. Maybe some of you, maybe one of these pairs of hands is going to be the first pair of hands in the King's Arms to see a deaf ear opened or to see a blind eye opened. Or to see cancer disappear out of somebody's body. Some of you are going to just lay hands on people to comfort them. It's going to be the first time that someone's ever prayed for them in their whole life. Some of these pairs of hands are going to do that. Some of these pairs of hands are going to comfort the hurting. Some of these pairs of hands are going to deliver the oppressed and set them free. They've never been free before. Some of these prayers of hands are going to comfort the poor and the broken. Some of these hands are going to do that in 2008. Some of us are going to serve. I hope all of us are going to serve with these hands and see God's kingdom come wherever we go, whatever we do in 2008. Let's stand together, shall we?